I'm here with Pete Kirtland, president and founder of Aspire Financial Services. Pete, you handle a lot of management of 401ks and IRAs and SEP plans, and I was curious what you see as the tax implications for individuals going into, well, depending on what happens with the fiscal cliff, but assuming taxes rise at some level or another.
Obviously a lot of things can happen. Right now the government's looking for any kind of tax revenue they can get their hands on. And, of course, 401k plans and other qualified retirement plans are in that focal point. And what could happen if they lower the deduction limits for qualified retirement plans, I think what you'll see is less savings. So individual participants are going to put less money in those qualified plans, which would mean that they would have less at retirement as well.
Well, and that's quite a challenge, because ultimately what's happened is we've transitioned from pensions at a lot of the large companies into these individual retirement funds. And so if that tax haven is no longer available, you create quite a challenge for people trying to save for their retirement, don't you?
Absolutely. And studies would show that most people are not prepared, or that their savings plan is not going to provide adequate retirement benefits. So to further reduce that is going to have what could be a devastating impact on our retirement preparedness for most participants.
And what happens, are there any strategies, I guess, for retirees if this were to occur?
Well, I think one overarching strategy that's independent of whether or not this occurs, you're hearing a lot of people talk about managing participant outcomes. That's a big theme right now as we go into 2013 in the retirement plan space. And what that simply means is that people need to become educated consumers and take control of their retirement plans. Right now, you're seeing a lot of what are called gap analysis tools out in the marketplace. And what that does is it allows participants to calculate what they want their income replacement to be and to take a look to see if they're on track to achieve it. And if they're not, most of these tools will provide strategies to improve the likelihood of success.
Now, when you talk about lowering the amount of deductions for 401ks, does that also apply to IRAs as well, or is that a different animal altogether?
Well, I would say everything's on the table right now.
And how likely is this going to occur? I mean, I haven't even heard of it up till now, so...
Well, I would like to say it's unlikely, but one of the industry organizations by the name of ASPA has launched a campaign called Save My 401k, and it's a web-based strategy that will automatically generate an email to the participant's congressperson telling them to protect the 401k plan. So you can go out to savemy401k.com and see the work that they're doing out there.
All right, and then also let your congressman know what you think about it as well.
Exactly.
And apparently there's also some other changes, and I was hoping you could elucidate us regarding what the implications are for the individual investor. But it seems like IBM is also changing the way it does its employee benefits, at least on the retirement side of things. Could you talk a little bit about that and tell us what it means?
Sure. So what IBM decided to do is make a modification to their plan design, which would calculate and fund the employer match at the end of the year versus on a payroll-by-payroll basis. And so what they're trying to do is incentivize people to stay throughout the year. If you're not there, I believe the way they did it was on the 15th of December. If you're not there anymore, you do not participate in the company match. As you know, 401ks are really designed from the employer's perspective to attract and retain quality employees. And I guess this would fall under the retain component. And so the implications to the individual investor are that they're not enjoying the compounding effects of growth throughout the year, But again, that could work both ways. If you had a year like 2008, it would go the other way.
Right, if you were in the wrong investments, at least. And,
yeah,
and,
exactly.
But at the same time, what it also means is that IBM would be saving that amount of money instead of putting it into what now, I guess, would be considered legacy programs or retention programs, as you said. If you don't stay there, or if you're there for 364 days of from December 15th to December 14th, then they don't have to match your 401k contributions.
Exactly. Now, there are some testing requirements under the code that, you know, that you have to benefit, that a certain number of non-highly compensated participants have to benefit. But, yeah, that's exactly right. So instead of that money going into the participants' account, it's staying with the plan sponsor's checking account or corporate account and earning nominal interest along the way.
And one of the concerns here is IBM's one of those leaders, so it's one of those, as goes IBM, so goes a lot of corporate America and then smaller businesses as well.
Yeah, but truth be told, this is actually a pretty prevalent plan design. It's just got notoriety because of IBM, but it's used by a lot of small to mid-sized employers already.
Yeah, I would assume that small employers especially would be more interested in this simply because it can be, in challenging years, and especially in the past few years, it's been more and more difficult to find revenue and to be able to fund these plans at all.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of business owners out there that don't want to reward people that leave halfway through the year.
Right. Well, it's been fascinating to talk to you. Thank you very much, Pete.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.